You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
It is 2:47 in the morning at this point. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I was on the ground today. I was not in the Michigan Stadium tunnel this time around like I was 2 weeks ago with the Penn State incident. But that overshadows a otherwise what would have been seen as a really glorious day for Michigan. Getting Paul Bunyan back. Really dominating Michigan State. 29-7 ends up being your final score. We'll take a look at some other things here. I'm pulling up the box score here, actually for the first time all day. Obviously, very, very good run game, almost 300 yards, 181 yards for Blake Corum on 33 carries, averaged 5.4 yards per carry. J.J. McCarthy adding 7 carries for 54 yards. Donovan Edwards, 10 for 42. All in all, really good there. Finally kind of saw the passing game not necessarily be as efficient. 15 for 25 for J.J. McCarthy. Really kind of felt like it was it wasn't on him. He had a couple errant throws, absolutely, but certainly had some where the receiver should have come down with it, and a couple where the defensive backs had a pretty good play. Michigan State secondary suddenly were last two games, they have been significantly improved. Kind of don't expect to see that type of thing, but Michigan State all in all looked very improved. The pass defense really struggled with the 50-50 balls with Keon Coleman, who they basically shut down in the second half, just one catch. But before that, he had 4 catches for 5 catches for 155 yards, averaging 48 yards per catch. Not ideal, but we kind of expected that. They shut down Jaden Reed, 4 catches for 17 yards. That's yards after catch that I'm looking at here. It's a different style of box score than what I'm generally look at. Defensively, really, really came on in the second half. Michigan's shown that it is certainly a second half team, especially on defense. They have been absolutely phenomenal in every game in the second half, except for Iowa. They've been absolutely phenomenal. Offensively, pretty good throughout, but it did feel to me like Michigan was playing scared. Once Cornelius Johnson had the fumble on the first drive, it just seemed like Michigan was going to play very conservative. It pretty much did. It didn't really start throwing until later in the game, essentially to play keep away from Michigan State. Kind of feel like there was a little bit of an FU type moment by Jim Harbaugh, obviously, with some of the throws late, the trick play late. Whatever. You know, this is a rivalry game. It's not a game where you can expect to not have that type of thing happen, right? If you just got to stop it. And they did. Right? Like, even respectful rivalries, which this is clearly not one, they're going to have moments like this, right? You don't necessarily call off the dogs in a game like this. I wouldn't expect, you know, Ohio State didn't call off the dogs against Michigan in 2018 or in 2019. They generally don't call off the dogs, period. That's that. Really good job stopping the run. Overall, ends up being 37 net yards by the Michigan State rushing attack. On 23 carries, it's an average of 1.6 yards per carry compared to Michigan at 5.3. So really good there. Great stuff from Luke Schoonmaker, who managed to get 37 yards after the catch. That's, again, just a phenomenal work Ronnie Bell, 4 catches for 53 yards. Really bad game for Cornelius Johnson. Targeted twice, got 1 catch for 7 yards and fumbled the ball. So not good. I would have liked to have seen more creativity. I would have liked to see Michigan come out and dominate a little bit more. But again, it really felt like Michigan was playing this game scared. They knew that they could line up and beat Michigan State. And that as long as they went out there and did what they normally do, or at least what they did against Penn State, they knew that they'd be able to do to ice the game away. But certainly the Boo Birds were coming out every time Jake Moody was coming out for a field goal. Not every time, but later in the game, because that's one of the big issues that they've had and continue to have is not being able to finish on drives. That continues to be a problem. It's been a problem in other years. Last year, it was a problem for a big chunk of the year until late in the year. So Michigan needs to get it figured out, because I again think that Ohio State is vulnerable. We saw it against Penn State. I'm certain that that is going to be historically revised to some point after they won 44-30, which obviously Ohio State pulled away in the end, some mistakes by Penn State, but Ohio State is much more vulnerable than people lead on. Michigan, I think, is exactly the type of attack to be able to take down Ohio State. Being able to run the ball, play ball control, secondary is generally good enough. They're going to have to limit what Ohio State is capable of in the first half if they're going to be a better second half unit defensively. But if Michigan can't get its red zone issue sorted out, it won't matter. This certainly is a game coming up in the, you know, 4 games from now, where Michigan has a prime opportunity. But we saw today, Michigan State took advantage, pushed Michigan back on 3 straight plays, I believe, in the red zone between 2 drives. That's not good, right? Michigan needs to figure out some things. I'd like to see Michigan be more aggressive. And there's a lot of players that they are just not utilizing. I understand Blake Corum is phenomenal. He has been phenomenal. But there are so many players that I want to see more of, because it just feels like they are being wasted, and it's a real difficult proposition. I mean, they had some big-time wide receivers in the 2024 class here. It's hard to pitch them as being able to come in and make that big difference when you aren't utilizing a lot of these players. And you know what? You're going to lose some players to transfer, I would imagine. Because they're just not getting utilized, unless you can really pitch them like, hey, we're going to use you down the stretch, and we're definitely going to make you a focal point next year. And that's the problem you face. You know, it doesn't really matter, you know, win the games in front of you the way that you can. But there's so much more available to this offense. There's a lot I didn't like on the play calling. I felt it was very unimaginative, but just at least in terms of all of that. But nonetheless, I mean, at the same time, Michigan dominated. Michigan punted all of once the entire game. That's almost, if it wasn't for that overturned Ronnie Bell catch, it would have been no times 2 straight games. It's impressive. The defense really came on, really impressive. I want to talk about some of those players and some of the things that I want to see down the stretch in segment 3, but we have to talk about the tunnel incident. Obviously, I've got a lot of thoughts. We're going to do that here in just a moment. All right, so what we know about what happened after the game is Jim Harbaugh says 2 players were assaulted by Michigan State players. We only know of one of them for sure, because that's the guy we have video on, and that's Jaden McBurrows. Credit to Matt Charbonneau from Detroit News, covers at Michigan State, which is why he was in the tunnel at that point, rushing to get to the post-game press conference. I did not see it. I was still on the field when it happened. I learned about it as I was starting to walk up the tunnel. I hadn't seen the video. I actually didn't even see the video when I posted the article with the video in it, because I posted it while the players were still talking. And then once I saw the video, I was 10 times more disturbed than I already was. Even though everything I was told by two event staff members matched up exactly, and, you know, it's matched up exactly with what they told me. And from there, all of the musings by Blake Corum and J.J. McCarthy, you know, about the, you know, the Tuck Cummins stuff and all of that, what have you, I just couldn't even pay attention to any of it. And it really felt like the air got sucked out of the room once Jim Harbaugh arrived. We got two players before that, but by that point, we all started to kind of get our eyes on that video. And you could just feel the energy was not good. And Jim Harbaugh, it felt like being like almost like being there for a loss, the post game press conference. Not quite. He usually doesn't say as much, right? Usually doesn't go for 11, 12 minutes or whatever it went for. But it generally does not have this feeling like it was like it's a loss, right? This should be a moment where it's all smiles, all celebrations. And Michigan State took that away. Now, on top of that, I mean, it is just, I don't have the words. I'm going to try to find them here for what happened. What's in my mind are a lot of expletives. Can't say that, I don't think, while I'm wearing a Jesus is King hat. But, I mean, I have Jesus tattooed on my shoulder, so that makes it doubly hard. But it's everything that Michigan fans say about the MSU program is true. I mean, you can go back and listen to what Jake Butt said in the preview last year about his experience playing Michigan State. It's anyone who's had anything bad to say about that program and their extracurriculars is absolutely vindicated. And whatever moral high ground, this weird phony moral high ground that Michigan State and Michigan State fans try to have and act like it's always Michigan instigating things, I'm sorry, but that is over. It's done. You cannot claim to have any moral high ground and sit there and say, yeah, but Devin Bush scuffed up our grass field. Guess what? It's a grass field. They re-sod it and repaint it. It's not like, oh man, look at all the damage. They're going to do that anyway. Okay, it looks bad for one game. All right, fine. That was his reaction to that other incident. Whatever, it is what it is. But coming into the Michigan Stadium tunnel, I don't care what people say about like, oh, the tunnel needs to change, all this stuff. I'm sure James Franklin feels very vindicated now too. Doesn't matter. This type of incident, we have never seen before. Like we've seen some fights and stuff like that. Just a little, you know, little pushing, shoving with Ohio State. Never like this. Like Jim Harbaugh said after the game, this was assault. This was a completely different deal. I mean, the video is so disturbing to see. Then I see, I'm on Twitter, I see a bunch of MSU fans trying to say, you know, hey, you're just a Michigan writer. Of course, you're going to spin things towards Michigan. Or it must have been instigated by the Michigan player. It does not matter what Jaden McBurrow said. Unless the whole of the Michigan State team are Liam Neeson and Jaden McBurrows just revealed that he had kidnapped their daughter. Barring that, there's zero excuse. Zero. What happened tonight has no place in football. If you were going to throw hands, do it on the field in the bounds of the game. Not in the stadium tunnel afterwards when you can gang up on a guy. It is reprehensible. Not one of those players involved should ever see a football field ever again. There needs to be stiff, stiff consequences for this. And for Michigan, you regroup. No matter what Mike Hart said back in 2007, for Michigan, you've just gotten a reason to really, really want to go out and dominate this series for the foreseeable future. Right? There should be no moment where there is a lack of motivation to beat Michigan State now. Because what just happened is easily the worst thing I've seen in my 8 years of covering a college football team. It's easily the worst thing that I've seen as someone who's watched college football on and off for 40 years. It's hard to find the actual words because all I have coming out of there is disgust and anger. And I've been sitting here working because that's what I have to do. But it has been a very difficult night to try to do that because it was just ridiculous. If you're an MSU person watching that, don't try to defend it. I'm not saying own it as your own, but call it out for what it is. Reprehensible. Absolutely reprehensible. Is that what you want your program to be, Mel Tucker? Because congratulations. They hate Michigan so much that you just, between you and D'Antonio, really egging on this rivalry, it has reached a low that I never thought I'd see. They're going to fight on the field. That's kind of like, okay, haha, right? Like they started to kind of get into that moment after the game and, you know, the Michigan players, for the most part, not all, kind of stayed separate, waved at them, like, yeah, go up your tunnel. It's unbelievable. All right. We're going to move on. I'm going to talk about some things I want to see down the stretch here in just a moment. All right. It is 3:05 in the AM. 3:06 now as I say that. We're going to just take a couple more minutes to talk about what I want to see here going forward. Listen, I love what Blake Corum's doing. Love it. I think Michigan would probably be able to do most of what it did tonight and be able to beat Ohio State, much like they did last year. However, there are some other things that need to happen. Number one, the creativity. Finally, we saw some creativity in the red zone, and that's what ended up being a Blake Corum touchdown with the shovel pass and all of that. He's motioning one way, comes back the other way, that was some creativity. I'd love to see a bit more creativity, right? Like, I understand, for the most part, you can line up against just about anyone and maul them. Cool. But have a little bit extra just to get, to, especially in the red zone, just to get things going. I am not fond of the disappearance of AJ Henning, who was masterful in the jet sweep last year. Really was just really felt he was my pick to be like the breakout offensive player this year. And when he came in at one point, I was like, AJ Henning's in. Oh, all right. And then it was a decoy. Roman Wilson, since he's come back from his concussion, he's been non-existent. One catch, one target, negative 3 yards. Andrell Anthony continues to be non-existent. One target, zero catches. I understand. You've got something in Luke Schoonmaker. You've got something in Ronnie Bell. I feel like some of these other guys should be taking some more snaps from Cornelius Johnson a little bit. Here's the thing about Cornelius Johnson. Very streaky, right? Like, he was struggling a bit, I felt, for most of the season. And then suddenly the Indiana game happens and you're like, oh, okay. See, yeah, they need to get the ball to him in space and make things happen. But you know who they really need to get the ball in space? Guys like AJ Henning and Roman Wilson. Like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we not using these guys? We as in the proverbial we. They have to get more creative. They have to find ways to get the ball to these guys in space. Yes, run Blake Corum all the time. Great, great, great. You've got to have more dynamic ability in the passing game. We know they have it. We've seen it. We've seen it this year. Roman Wilson out there looking like the second coming of Devontae Smith early in the year. J.J. McCarthy dinking and dunking his way to 300-something yards against Indiana. Listen, I know that they want to go out there and run the ball. Up until today, they have been very balanced overall. Going into the game, it was basically 1,700 yards passing, 1,700 yards rushing. You're going to need it down the stretch. Say you go and you beat Ohio State even this way. Guess what? Whoever you play in the playoffs, you're going to need to be more dynamic, because at some point, one of those teams in the playoff is probably going to have a defense good enough to say, like, you're not going to do that. We saw that last year with Georgia. You've got to get things going. I talked about last week, earlier in the week or whatever, about the personnel groupings and things that you can do. Michigan did seem like it went into a shell, really treated Penn State more as its more important game than Michigan State. And they were a little bit, even with running the ball, at least had more interesting personnel groupings that were harder to defend. This was just going to be line up against them, smash mouth type football. But I just want to see more. Michigan certainly was playing a little bit of a F around and find out for a minute with MSU. And the defense was so good that didn't matter. But they've got to be more dynamic. They've got to get better in the red zone. They need to utilize the playmakers they have on the roster while they have them. They're doing a great job with Blake Corum. They're increasing the workload for Donovan Edwards. All of those things are welcome. You've got more than those guys that got to be able to get more done. We've seen it. We've seen Roman Wilson. We have seen AJ Henning. We have seen Andrell Anthony. There's got to be more available there. All right. That's going to do it for our post-game show. So we will be back on Monday. Probably after all the press conference stuff, as usual, hoping to get a little bit more information about the tunnel incident. And we'll go from there. All right. Thanks for watching and or listening. We will talk to you again soon. Peace.